podcast is brought to you by the 99 Network, New Michigan's premier spot for all your local podcast needs.
Kill my
mind. Warning. This podcast has language of a mature nature. Spencer and Eddie don't know what they are talking about, and in no way should be taken seriously. They are idiots. In fact, this podcast should not be listened or viewed by anyone. But regardless, welcome to the Basement Bar. Beers and Babble. Cheers.
I was excited.
Yeah.
I'll
say it again.
Eric and I got high at Sam's Club, and we left with a 3-gallon container of animal crackers. What the hell are we going to do with 3 gallons of animal crackers?
You're going to eat them for a long, long time.
We gave some away for Easter gifts, and we need like a canister of frosting.
And like, I got a case of Ding Dongs and Twinkies.
He ate 30 fucking King Don's in 4 days.
Oh my God.
And still has a 34 waste. That's just rude.
30 ding dongs, 34 wastes. Man, well, I tell you what, welcome back to the Basement Bar, Beers and Babble. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We've got Carrie and Eric Asel in the house.
Good to be here, you guys. Heck yeah. Good to be here, you guys.
This I've been
if you thought John was good,
how's it going?
Wait for the OG. The OG Asels.
The OG Asels.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I've been waiting for this podcast a long, long time. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us. I've never done this before.
This is fantastic.
I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is great.
We haven't either. Our first time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
No, we'd like to start this.
Touch like the very first time.
We like to start this podcast out with a little something either called what you've been listening to or what you've been watching, but we're going to do what you've been listening to.
Just how your week's been or anything.
Yeah, everything like that. You know, we catch up. But what you guys been listening to?
St. Vincent's coming up with a new album on the 26th of April, and she's dropped 2 tracks. One's called Broken Man, one's called Flea. And I tell you what, she's gone back to that self-titled album, and I've really been hot on it. She's got Antonoff back producing. Dave Grohl's playing drums on a couple tracks.
Oh, nice.
And it's pretty aggressive, it's pretty wild, and I'm just getting really excited for that new album. Big time.
It's pretty good. And Dave Grohl, when I see Dave Grohl play, it reminds me of my husband's playing, which is very aggressive.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Very cool.
Dave Grohl can be just a switch hitter for anything, so you got to love when he goes back to his like original. This is how he became something instrumental.
Yeah, shut
thing,
up and
know?
Hit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
And something I just listened to 2 nights ago. My friend Holly Jacobs introduced me to Beyonce's new album, which is way out of my norm, not somebody I normally listen to at all. But it's an amazing album.
It
is so totally different than anything I've ever heard her do. And her voice isn't so stressed because it always sounds like someone's got a hold of her. And she's going to die when she's singing. But this... It's really good.
Yeah, she showed me 3 tracks from it, and they're all very different from each other, and sonically thick. I can't wait to get my head around the headphones on it, because it's, how can you not produce something really, really good when you're married to Jay-Z?
Absolutely, and it's something that you'll never hear on the radio. It's that unique.
Yeah.
Really?
It is that unique. It's really, really interesting. It was pretty cool.
It kind of seems like she's been out of the game for a little bit, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, there he is.
Just never
come on down to the bar. Rogers
Pub. I've been a big follower of her, but this is totally a different ballgame.
When you have the market by the balls and you can you put on an album of armpit farts and it'll sell, it's good when an artist tries to spread out and actually put something out that can really show their artistry.
Yeah, super creative.
It's nice to hear them... really show the side of them that isn't made or manufactured for, MTV.
Yeah, that's it.
MTV. They don't play music on MTV. What do you think?
I know, right? Not anymore. It used to be great back in the day. I'd wake up to MTV and...
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. Night tracks.
What about you, Eddie? What you been listening to this week?
The Wonka soundtrack.
Oh.
We'll talk about it more with Rick and Eric, but... Yeah, man, watch Wonka. It was phenomenal.
Yes, it was phenomenal. We absolutely loved it.
Hey, we just watched that last night, didn't we? Was that last night? Two nights ago.
Could have been.
One of them. I watched it two nights ago and last night.
They all blend together.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that kid that plays Wonka, somebody needs to write a Sid Barrett biopic, because that kid looks just like Sid Barrett in 1967.
Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet.
He looks just like Sid Barrett, man.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh,
and he can do stuff like that. Or he was in a movie called Beautiful Boy too, and it's with Steve Carell. You know, and normally he's in like comedies. You know, Steve Carell's like a funny guy, but this was like a drama about, you know, he was like a heroin addict. The kid was Timothy, and they were both fantastic. Did you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's really good. I've never thought that Steve Carell could do a role like that, and I was like, you are a better drama actor, I think, than
I agree. Go see Foxcatcher.
Okay.
He plays a wrestling coach.
Yeah,
or,
I have seen that. That's sad, man.
It is, ain't it?
Real intense movie.
And what's the one movie? The Way Back.
Yeah.
With him and Toni Collette. The Way Back. It's cool when he plays. Kind of plays the villain.
Toni Collette, villain. Yeah. The United States of Terror. Such a good show.
I have not seen that. Where's that?
I don't know what it's on. It's an older show, but Toni Collette.
HBO show, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Where she has DID, dissociative identity disorder, has all these multiple personalities.
I love that. I have that problem, I think.
Oh, I've been listening to Zeppelin. I cannot get that off my radio when I'm going to work or anything like that. I found this.
I think that's the last like month. You've just been straight Zeppelin.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. I got a new favorite song by Zeppelin. So it used to be Fool in the Rain, then it went to Over the Hills, and now it is Hey, What Can I Do?
Yeah, cool. Unreleased, man. Yep. No album.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
a B-side from Zep 3.
Yeah, it's good. B-side from Zep 3.
Yeah, right. You know what? I go through Zep phases.
Yeah.
Like overdose for a while, and then enough for a bit. But you know what? What gets me back hooked is some live Zeppelin here in Bonham on drums, man.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just watched Circle in the Square. What? Oh, sorry. My bad.
First time, man.
No, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you perfect.
We just watched Circle in the Square, and it's about the photography and artwork of albums, and they were showing how they did a lot of Zeppelin albums.
Oh, yeah. It's the story of Hypnosis. It's called Squaring the Circle.
That's it.
And it's the story of Hypnosis. Hypnosis was a pretty avant-garde, kind of a hippie outfit that did a lot of great album covers. Their first one was Sauce Full of Secrets. They did Dark Side. They did House of the Holy. They did The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. They did, and it's a great doc, man.
Yeah,
great doc.
That's sweet.
Aubrey Powell.
You have to see it.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
It's really good. And all sorts of people in it, man. Paul McCartney, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, Peter Gabriel. I mean, it's off the charts, man.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So you guys were talking about what we've been listening to.
Yeah.
I want to get your opinion, and then I want to shut you all down.
Okay.
It's just so weird.
It sounds like something Spencer would say, man. I want you, tell me what you're saying, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Exactly.
So weird. So weird hearing a female voice on this.
I know, right?
It's awesome. First
you're girl. You're welcome.
Hell yeah. Shut up.
First chick.
You shut it.
Ow.
Get out of here.
Do what you're told.
Yeah. All right, so tell me your opinion. I want to hear it.
Okay,
and
so
then I want to give my opinion so I can get shut down.
All over like the news media and everything else, people have been complaining about Madonna. Madonna's concert being late, et cetera, and her appearance and whatever, you know, the whole schmeal. Well, we went to go see her concert, and it was my fifth time seeing Madonna. So, of course, I'm a huge fan. I'll stick up for her till the end of time. And did she go on later? Yes, she did. However, my thing is, when you have an opening act, you start at 8. She never goes on or starts her opener till 9. Lets everyone get in, because it's sold out every time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Lets everyone get in. Opening act starts, they end. By the time they reset, it's going on 10:30. So, she starts late.
Yeah.
Of course she does.
Right.
But she bangs out music for 3 hours after that.
Oh, dang.
Oh, shit. That's sweet.
That's a concert.
It was a phenomenal show. And you know what? If you're going to see Madonna and you can't do it on a school night, take the next day off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. And I know the fans are getting older. We've grown up with her. It's 42 years now since her first album.
Oh, dang.
And it's a long time. I mean,
does she dance the entire time, too, while she's singing?
Yes, she does.
Holy shit.
Yeah, she does.
That I can't dance stamina. And sing for 10 seconds. She did 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
It was a great show. It was a killer show.
Yeah, that's stamina.
A spectacle
right
for all ages.
I just want to throw that out there. Yeah. So you people like hating on her for being late, knock it off.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's all you got.
I went and saw her once with Donna. And Donna stopped the show.
Did she?
She was screaming so loud, Donna stopped singing and just looked at her.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic. I
love like,
that story.
You gotta scream like that, woman?
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she stopped in the middle of the song and just stared at her.
I would have cried. I would have cried.
Of all the things Madonna's seen.
Yeah, and it's my mom's right, voice that stops her.
And
goes,
Donna
oh.
stops her cold.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's like that... Back in the day, there was that the Rockin' Wheels show or whatever, and there was always like an Elvis impersonator, but he came back every year, and he was really good, like a really good Elvis impersonator. And
Thank you very much.
And he was on the front of the stage. My mom was right there, and she screamed, and he kept singing, but he backed up so much that he gave her his little scarf thing, you know, and he was just like, you know how Elvis, I guess, used to
had the big sash. Yeah,
he handed her a sash because of her scream. And I tell people, I'm like, it's great to hear those stories and everything, but imagine getting screamed at because you're doing something wrong as a kid by that voice. It was terrifying. You
know, how confusing.
You're like, oh, my God.
My grandma Aisle got kicked out of a Garber High School football game.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Yeah.
What for?
For yelling.
For yelling at the refs. My cousin Steve played ball. And like I could see it like in the gymnasium or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But
she
a football
got
game.
Kicked out of there, too.
Yeah. Yep. She got kicked out of a football game.
Yeah, my mom went during tennis matches used to get talked to several times.
Yeah,
because she wouldn't be yelling at the, you know, the officials or anything. She was yelling at me for fucking up.
So. Yep. Oops. I can relate to that a little bit.
It's like, hey, I know that's your son, but you got to lay off him. It's a match right now.
She still does that.
Then
she?
Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, start yelling at the coach. Right? Yeah, he ain't doing anything good.
Yeah, then get busy.
We chase Jonathan and Spencer when they played tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so oh, of nice. Course we did. Sorry,
yeah, I keep forgetting time. Jonathan played tennis.
He played. Yes, mm-hmm. And Jonathan, I played tennis as well in high school and early college. And
nice.
I thought that he had a passion for it the way I did. Turns out that he liked it, but he did not have that same passion.
Oh, really?
And had to tell me to, hey, Mom, I'm there because my friends are there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I was there because I wanted to win.
You need to settle down.
That was fun.
I learned a lesson.
I'm here for the Starburst.
Mac and cheese.
I know who your coach was.
Yeah.
Our freshman year, me and John got to play together, and boy, did we have fun. Oh, my gosh. We just started as like a, oh, why not? Hey, man, we can be jocks now. You know?
Yeah.
This is a sport we can do that doesn't interfere with theater and all that. And, gosh, did we have fun.
You did. Advice you guys took from me was aim for their head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially because we would always talk to the other players and just be like, you know, hey, like, do you care about this? Are we just having fun? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to crush you guys. And John was just like, yeah, we're going to whoop their ass now.
Yeah.
We're not going to let them have a single point. It's game over. And
basically,
we did that. Yeah. Yep. We were the number one go-to when someone had to sit out because we were on JV. It was freshman year.
Yeah.
And, yep, when some our people couldn't make it, they were like, all right, Spencer, John, come on, you're in. We're like, yes, fuck yeah. A couple matches a year, we get to go to team dinners and all that.
Yeah, right on,
man. Barely had to work, yeah. Like, me and John would just be kind of jogging during, what do you call that, conditioning practice, and they would be yelling at the people that are constantly
you
on.
You guys did that, condition?
Oh, yeah.
The first 2 weeks, yeah, first 2 weeks of tennis. Dude, it sucked because then we'd have half the time end up chipping ice off the freaking court. It was always like, you know, early spring.
Well, some of the most intimidating things you can do in sports is be super laid back or have like a crazy relaxed smile on your face. Like, it makes people go, wait a minute. Are these two stupid or crazy?
What are you doing, man? Well, speaking about Garber, we were all in the theater arts for a long, long time. And all of us had a little bit of part of it. But we have talked about our theater experiences a couple of times. But you guys should go ahead and tell them about what you did there.
Well, I will start with this. Eric and I have been purging all of the extra crap in her house, getting rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I came across a VHS video of our dress rehearsal when we were in the Music Man in 1989.
Oh, my gosh.
And Eric and I are front and center mm-hmm. of the stage dancing together, and it made my eyes water.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. My lineage with Carrie goes back to when I was in seventh grade, King and I. That's when Carrie and I met for the first time. It was a friendship that was forged through arts, through theater. And we were in a number of shows together over those years. And got taught good lessons, bad lessons, through and through and through. And the friends I still have today were that I had through theater. I played ball, and I'm still good friends with the guys I played ball with. But the ones that I am welded to are the theater friends, yeah. completely.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
It's a different kind of bond.
It yep. is.
It is. Get, when yeah. you run into the theater friends, it's even family. If it wasn't someone you were super close to, but you pick up where you left off.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It is.
Nice. Yeah.
That was like an Aiden thing.
There you go. Yeah. Good push.
We had moved back back to Essexville, and Corey Heiser was directing for Vanimo, stage directing.
Yeah.
And he was doing Oliver in 07. And he needed an assistant. And we had worked together through ABC Productions, a couple shows. I did lights at Garber when he was coming up. And he asked me if I wanted to assist him in stage direction. And Carrie and I talked about it. And she said, this is, you've got what it takes to do it. You're good with people. And Corey gave me that opportunity. And so I assisted in Oliver. Ryan was in Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I was too.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, Roger was there.
And then
yeah.
the next year, Corey got a chance to go to Madison. So I just kind of, it landed in my lap to direct Grease. It was my first one, 08. And it was a real challenge. But you know what? I felt kind of natural to do it. It felt good to get back into it.
That's a good musical to start with.
And, kind of a simple one, too. Kind of an easy one, well-known. It's kind of cut and dried. It really is cut and dried. It
wasn't simple back then.
And what you're given, you want to give back. What the musicals did for me, I felt that I was indebted to the muse kind of thing. And every chance I had to do it was giving back what I'd gotten. And then to have Carrie come on board... actually, she got the opportunity because the school wouldn't let the kids go on stilts for Barnum.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that, Raj?
Yep, I remember that.
And I just kind of volunteered, Carol, do it.
Yeah, he came home from rehearsal and he goes, hey, they're not letting the kids, the students, walk on stilts for the show. I'm like, oh, man, that sucks.
That's
he goes,
wild.
Well, we figured it out, though. You're doing it.
Oh, geez.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah, so her and Gary Rubel did it. And then Carrie was in the process from then out. Ended up being the chairperson for hair and makeup. And it was really important to get all of us involved. We became a family. She knew how fast the wheel was spinning to jump in at that time to do hair and makeup and became part of the family. And then, of course, having all the kids come through. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience over there to have that bled in our lap. And that era is a special moment in time for both of us. Carrie had her masterpieces. I had mine. It was really a great thing to share.
Eric had a lot more masterpieces than I did, but I had a lot of fun though.
Oh well, darn it! You couldn't pull off a thing like Shrek or Little Shop or some of the things we did without Carrie's input. I mean,
that's true.
Like Wizard of Oz, dang! I mean, that
you made the paper for Shrek, man.
I did.
You were on the paper. In the paper.
I did.
Yeah.
That's this funny. Is going to come out wrong, but Spencer will understand. I was the mustache chaser. You can take that however you want, but it's very, very innocent.
What you got, Raj?
They wouldn't let the kids on stilts, but then they have Oz and they let them fly around the stage.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. See, because the stilts, too, when we did The Hobbit in 2002.
Yeah. The stage kept... getting on fire.
Yeah. And the, yeah. Well, one of the seniors played the Goblin King, and he was on stilts running all around and everything. So that's, yeah. It's a weird
liability insurance.
What few years make.
He must have been 18.
Well, hey, I tell you what, if you could give one piece of advice to anybody who's ever thought about directing stage production, what would you give them?
Gain their trust. Show them that being in chorus is as important, if not more, than a lead. You're not bound by the book. invent a character, be a character, become the character, write your own backstory, live it. What are your likes, dislikes? Do you agree with this statement? Do you not agree with this statement? One of the things that I enjoyed about Chorus was not being bound by the book. If you're playing Donkey, per se, you have to live inside the book. But you know what? This little sprite, whatever, that isn't bound by the book can be whoever they want for a moment in time. And sometimes you see these kids that have, they try their best, man. They're shaken during auditions. They have so much nervous, so much stress. And they get out there and they believe in what's happening. And the competition is friendly competition. It's amongst yourselves. I would say to direct those kids that have an idea what they have no idea what they really can or can't do, give them the trust, the faith, and confidence to go forward with what they have in their imagination, because it's all in there. We all have that imagination.
It is, and the audition process also for people is a lot more nerve-wracking than it is for sports, to me, because to stand and sing when you're not confident in your vocals and you want to, you know, you just want to be in the chorus.
It's much more exposing.
Yeah, it is.
It's also easy to forget when you're a chorus member that you are so important that without you, the leads don't look good.
Yeah.
You are the painting.
That binds everything.
You paint the portrait for the whole show.
Yep. Yeah.
You need those people to make the leads look
good. The biggest scenes that I was ever a part of were some of my favorite, whether I had, you know, like a supporting lead, a lead, or if I was just in the chorus, was those days when we, and that was probably really hard coming from like directors or the parents or the staff and everything watching this, but everything come together. And when every cast member was on stage and you'd run it over and over and over and over again was so much fun, because even as like a lead and you have all these people out there and they're always watching you, they're always watching you. But when everyone gets their chance to shine, everyone's equal.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you feel so good. You know, so, because it's like your arms weren't up. They need to be, you know, no elbows and everything. And that goes for everybody. No one could just be lackluster. Everyone had to give it their all.
But I was a senior. Yeah.
Cut the mics, you know.
I was going to say, so talking about directing, art, makeup, and you had Roger, who was a stage manager.
Yep.
And so what, if anybody was going to be behind the scenes, because that's a crucial part as well.
Very crucial.
You know, amen.
Very.
What kind of advice or what do you give? What are some experiences? What were you, how was your stage managing?
You just build them up.
Yeah.
You make them confident. You help them out in any way you can. And if they want to dance behind a set piece, you let them dance behind a set piece.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As long as they can't be seen by the crowd, you can do whatever you want.
Yep. If you see a blue chair, they can see you. So don't
see a blue
chair.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Sight lines.
Built a team mentality. Roger helped build a team mentality as far as scene changes goes. You guys that were involved know
spiked
that
rehearsals,
that,
man.
That if it takes too long, it breaks the illusion. You want to keep them captured. Right. 30 seconds, you'll keep it tight.
You gotta keep it flowing.
And Roger was a huge team builder. He might when he would come in, design the changes. Just excellent logistics. But you know what? When we did those spec rehearsals, he made it so it was fluid. Like we ran a football play.
We did. We really did.
It really was, man.
Everyone had their
own
piece.
It really was.
It's a sport.
That was cool. Especially the craziest one that I ever did. I was on the house during Wizard of Oz, and we you would never think, like, we gained a part in that. It was, you have to spin the house while everything's changing behind you, and we got to spin that house. And I tell you what, every single performance, we got closer and closer and closer to that edge. I swear that one of the times I lifted my feet up and went above Cuneo with the trumpet.
It was
so cool. We got that thing going. Me and John just going. And then it's like, stop, break, leave.
Yeah.
That was one of my
favorites. I apologize. You were going to say when you were 17.
Oh, when I was 17, I was double cast in the musical Carousel. Billy Bigelow was the part I had. So every other night, I had to play Billy or a chorus part. And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed the chorus nights more than anything. To be whoever I wanted to, be involved in the dances, and not be bound by the book. It was an incredible feeling to just have that freedom of imagination. Let the kids run with imagination.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also like the fact, too, that musicals are a chance for a lack of a better word, the misfit toys that can't make a sport, they can't make a different team or whatever.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
They're looking for their place.
Yeah.
And that's their chance to be part of something and to dedicate and to have a talent dragged out of them that they didn't know that they had.
Yeah.
It's important for everyone to have their place.
Auditions were the worst part of the whole thing for me because I had terrible, terrible scissors to cut. If they had the guts to get out there and try, we would invent things for people to do.
That's really neat. That's cool.
Those are the best days for me because I didn't have to be there.
You know, Raj, that was a cool thing for that Land of Misfit Toys. Raj always had a place for them to help and to feel like... I don't know, they were a leader in their own right.
Well, you know what?
Did that for a lot of kids.
Roger, Ryan, and Gary backstage were integral backstage fun taskmasters, but fun to boot. I was a bit envious having to be up front because these guys saw that backstage magic, that dark, mystical, gotta be quiet.
You got to be a part of that this year, didn't you?
Yeah. We talked about all that. That was fascinating.
Cool.
Backstage, I did get to... in 2012, I had the opportunity. I sang with four members of the Metropolitan Opera and the New York Chamber Orchestra at Carnegie Hall.
How cool is that?
Yeah, with a couple. It was the Delta College Choir with two other colleges from the country come together. And there's about 200 of us on the stage. And the people they have behind stage in the green rooms in Carnegie Hall is magic. There's so many. When you're walking down the hallway, there's all these signatures and pictures and everything of everybody that's been there. And then the stage manager and all the crew and everything they have working is wild. It's just this machine that you don't know what's happening. You're getting herded like cattle. And they're like, all right, you need to be over here. You got this. You get this. This is it. And then suddenly, bright lights, and you're in full auditorium. And you're packed in, and it's hard to breathe. And then you're like, all right, and you're going, and everybody's already out there, and you have to start singing, and you're trying not to pass out because you're trying not to lock your legs. And you're like, remember everything.
How great, though.
It was amazing. We did the Mozart, Regina Celli, and Vivaldi's Gloria.
Wow.
That's
incredible.
It was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
I'll bet. That sounds amazing.
When you
were
talking about that, that brought me back.
And you know what? A well-oiled machine like that, Carnegie Hall, you know, the Rock Academy, those kind of places... That's professional stuff. And we were just, amateurs trying to work our way through.
No, but that was the point of it, was that it was the same type of well-oiled machine, but there wasn't the heart, because everything, it was like, you were just go.
Okay, I jumped, I'm sorry.
That was the difference.
Okay.
And so even though Roger or when my mom did it or when whomever we had back there, it was professional, but there was always that air of... fun as well.
That's fantastic, man.
This was a fun experience, but it was very much like, this is the greatest place on earth. Get your shit together. Let's go. Like,
right. Sure. Yeah.
I had a similar experience with that. I did Scottish Highland dancing and Irish dancing. My mom was a bagpiper, and we had a group that toured the country much for the most part growing up. And we were in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Irish Festival, and it was three performances a day and three parades a day. And on our last day, we got to perform with the Chieftains, which is one of the hugest Irish bands of all time.
Yeah.
And that was the same type of thing, a well-oiled machine. It was like, okay, get going, kid.
Yeah. And just all that logistics you used earlier.
Yeah.
Crazy logistics.
Crazy logistics. And also, in that same note, performing at the World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, sweet.
That'd be so cool.
For Reagan and Carter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Which was insane. And our last...
yep.
Our last performance out there, when we performed for those people, and I was young, like fourth grade, third grade.
Yeah.
I remember looking out, and as a kid, it was nothing but people. Like, as far as my eye could see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
It was crazy.
Breathtaking.
Crazy. When you see a sea of people.
Logistics.
Logistics. Yeah.
It's you got to be here, and here. My mom will kill you if you're not. So.
Oh, man. That's great. That is an exhilarating thing when you are performing and you're living your passion. Like, I remember being on stage, even at Garber, you know, in the glory days, whatever, and looking out in the back of the day when they opened the back curtain up. That was 800 people. But I tell you what, that felt fantastic. You know, it was like my Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. That would be wild to play an arena. Anything. Oh, I mean, that would be.
Can you imagine?
Mind blowing.
Okay, Richie Havens opened Woodstock, right? And he had run out of material because nobody else could show up yet. And he made up the song Freedom on the spot. There's 450,000 people out there on a hill, and you're making up a song. Now that
that's crazy.
Is guts.
Yeah, yeah. That is ballsy. Holy moly. Wow.
It's like making up limericks.
Yeah, we can.
All right. Well, what's your guys' favorite thing to order at a bar?
Like,
is it
drinks
beer?
Or food?
Is it beer?
Wingdings.
Oh, you know, like beers or cocktails or?
I like a beer and a sidecar.
Cool. What about you, Eric? A beer?
Depends on the weather.
yeah, that too.
If it's nice out, a tall Jameson's and ginger ale with a lemon.
Oh.
All right.
What about you, Eddie? What's your favorite thing to order at a bar?
Oh, I'd have a beer.
All right. What about you?
Anything made with rum.
Oh, okay.
Regular rum or spiced rum?
It's got to be regular. I don't like spice rum.
Well, we got two people that aren't excited, but I'm certainly excited to try the beer of the week. Huh?
Beer of the week.
Beer of the week. Oh, my goodness. Please do.
So what kind of bar are we at, though? I mean, like... Like, oh, lap dance is cool.
Beer of the week. Beer of the week.
Beer.
I'd have a beer.
Beer of the week.
White ones.
What?
The white.
The bags. Bag of beer. Bag of beer.
The bags. The white bags, not the brown bags.
Carrie's got the special Carrie's reveals.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have...
Yeah, Carrie and Eric brought us. I apologize. I keep wanting to say John.
It's okay, man. So bad. Just a little hippie.
Carrie and Eric. Oh no, we have cups.
No,
we're good.
We'll supply.
Yeah.
Oh, look at
Carrie
that.
And Eric brought us the beer of the week, and it's mystery. Craft. It's in this little bag here. So we're about to bust
several
it open.
There's
several
week.
Crafts.
Yeah, several. We got a bunch of beer of the week.
It's always fun.
These are some new beers we're carrying at the good old local Yokel Silver Palace.
Oh yeah, crazy. We gotta have a Rogers joke.
Oh, for going. Sure.
You're okay, off rhythm tonight.
What do you call a dumb Chinese prostitute?
I don't know. What do you call him?
One dumb hoe.
Oh my God, you're grounded.
What do we got?
Sweet.
Beer of the week.
Oh, this beer is
Yeah, tell us.
Yes, this is called Narragansett, and this is the beer that is used by the Captain of
Quint,
the captain of the boat from the movie Jaws. This is what he
drinks
in the movie Jaws.
That's just had a drink about an hour ago and it went right to my head.
They just brought it back.
And it's a 16 ounce because you know why? Because we're going to need a bigger beer.
That's a good one.
I love it. Beautiful.
Raj, you are so on it.
That was
this is made
in
honor.
Does that prove that I make up these?
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're going to need a bigger beer.
We're going to need a bigger beer.
Yes, Narragansett. You can get it at the Silver Palace.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a couple episodes ago about how I measure things in Jaws. Jaws is 25 feet. So you can measure things in Jaws.
Nice.
That's a Jaws away.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's about three Jaws.
It's very American.
Yeah.
I knew a girl named Jaws.
Yeah.
Wow, that's 44 watermelons long.
Didn't you marry her?
Yeah. Yeah. This 44 watermelons. I love it.
Call her Sue.
It's a pre-prohibition.
It's
a pre-prohibition American lager.
Oh, and you got the details on it?
It's
nice.
We get to rate it, too, on
nice,
this.
Narragansett.
Narragansett Brewing Company, regional brewery in Providence, Rhode Island. It is a 5% 5% ABV, 12 IBU.
Cheers.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carrie.
You're
you know,
welcome.
I did have a girlfriend in high school that poked me
tastes
in the
like
eye
chum.
Once, so I had to stop seeing her for a while.
Oh, that's a good one. Hey, that
you
is not a bad
smooth.
Beer.
That's not bad.
It
kind of tastes like a Yingling.
It's a straight up lager. Yeah, it does. You're right. Yep, that's the Narragansett.
Oh, I would sit down and have that.
I'd have two trays nice. Without coming up to say hello.
Right, I would.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go to the palace soon and have one of these. That's good beer.
Heck yeah. I'm going to give it
Give me one of them Jaws beers, man.
I'll give it a 4.25.
And the posters are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The big old Jaws.
Oh, yeah,
up
I did see those. Yeah. Hey, yeah, we all kind of rate it, and it's out of 5. Eddie gave it a 4.25.
Oh, yeah, and I can tag the Silver. So we got this from the Silver Palace. So yeah. If you go on the Untapped, cool. Following the show, you can see where we got all these beers from. Today is from the Silver Palace.
Awesome. Yeah. Yep, I rate that about a 4 or 5.
Wow, you guys are like good, like multiple decimal points. What'd you say, Eddie?
4.25.
4.25. Yep. 3.97.
There you go.
6.41.
What? Wait, you overrated. It's only up to 5.
Oh, you're done. I thought we were just
from 1 to 5.
I just thought we were just throwing numbers.
Oh. I'm going with a 4 point. Straight 4 point. Straight I like 4 points.
Oh, that's right. This is out of 5, isn't it?
Yeah. Usually, the Untapped app
I usually
out of
don't
5.
Drink these.
It's well, good. Dad, you would this, actually like that.
I did.
Did you?
I did.
I did.
Out of,
I did.
Out of 5, I'd probably give
pretty
it a,
smooth. I like that. It's got
I'd
a nice
give
body
it a strong 4.
Nice. Yeah.
I got a lot of
it. A little thicker than you think for like a light lager.
I'd give it a 5 if I had one of those.
The hardest thing posters. About this beer in the palace is no one can pronounce it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, give me a Nagamsock.
Well, they look at it and they're like, yeah.
Give me a Nagamsock.
Rock'em Sock'em Robot beer.
Give me one of those shark beers.
Yeah.
Here's your Heineken. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm going to get a Tall John.
Give me a shark beer.
You should have been cut up. Drink a Heineken.
Yeah. No.
We're not drinking
and a Snickers,
beer,
man. You're
and
not
a
you,
Snickers.
You were.
And a Snickers.
You're not that's you good. When you can't pronounce the name of this
heck
beer.
Heck yeah. But good beer of the week. Thank you so much
yeah,
for bringing
you.
There, I got a few more in there for you, too, as well, that are brand spanking new. We that's just got awesome. This week.
Oh, beer. We appreciate it. Thank
beer
you.
For the whole week.
Carrie
beer for
the whole Silver Palace in Essexville. Check it out. Great fish fries, great burgers, fantastic food, and even better service.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you.
Silver Palace in
Essexville. Thank you so much for saying that. And the most common tip is 20%. Thank you.
Yeah,
I love that.
Well, I want a refund then.
Come on in for Rude Tuesday.
Rude Tuesday.
See, I like to find, when I find a place I like, I know I'm going to be back. I normally tip 50%.
Nice.
That's
thank you.
I'm a serial over-tipper. Having been in the business, both Carrie and I.
Where the hell have you been?
One of the best things we've done is normally you walk into a restaurant and see your server's just slam jamma. And you walk in and you say, give us 2 beers each. Get back to us when you can. And you can see the server go, shoulders lower. Yep. And you take your time. And it's easy on them. They dig it. Tip handsomely. The only time I'll go as low as 20% is if it is pretty bad service.
Yeah, if it's quiet, there's not a whole lot going on, and they're just not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, they're not clean and they're not busy. They're just kind of hanging out, or they're on their phone and they're just ignoring. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
phones
I'm like, all right, man. Like,
still give you a little bit of money, but,
you
know, treat me better.
There was one time Carrie and I were camped up at Pretty Lake. And it was like a third
pretty
day.
Lake?
Yep.
Pretty Lake.
Third day of rain.
Pretty Lake.
Third day of rain
is
in
it
a
pretty?
Row.
It's
gorgeous.
Baby.
It's all right. Sorry, Eric.
It should be beautiful.
Your son does that same thing. Yeah. Anytime anyone asks him about is Pretty Lake pretty, he always goes, it's all right.
Eric and Ricky from the wider range of conversations.
They don't allow ugly people at Pretty Lake.
Well, first of all, Roger, you're beautiful, and so is your wife, and I'm inviting you because Eric and I will be there, and we don't need those boys to have a good time. I mean, it'd be nice if you were there, though. But
okay, I get it.
She just winked.
I get it. Yeah, I know. Basically saying we don't want the kids up there. We'll just go with the parents. I get it.
When you're up there,
I'm a decade older.
So
my kid.
What would you? What should you do if you come across a bear
up there?
Nothing.
Yeah, you just chill with them.
Put some honey on your hand and try and feed it.
There you go.
What you should do is apologize and wipe it off.
Those are the whitest teeth you ever. Never mind.
Oh my God. Good.
I love it.
That was awful grizzly.
Yeah. That was good.
No, like he was
saying. I was
saying,
wider range of conversations. Ricky and Eric give Spencer shit constantly about Pretty Lake. They think it's the funniest thing. They're like, we ran out of names. Fucking Pretty Lake.
Because I agree.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was even in the
gorgeous,
group chat today they were giving you shit.
Yeah, I know.
He's going camping this weekend, so
up to Hoyce Lakes, and they were like, are you going to Pretty Lake? Is it pretty? I'm like, it's fucking gorgeous, but I'm not going there.
Wish you could see it. I'm not showing it to you.
Yep, I'll never give them directions.
Nope.
Fuck them. They don't deserve the Pretty Lake.
And you'll never find it.
No.
If you're driving I-69 down to, say you're going to the state game, whatever, you get like by Lennon area, there's a spot on a big turn. It's called Interstate Lake. It's like, yeah, another one. Nice name. Interstate Lake.
Yep. Yep. We're just running out of, I don't know. Fucking water. This well, is actually, water. This the, is
lake.
Welcome to Water Lake.
The best thing ever.
Wet Lake.
Wet Lake. No, the best one we got is at the Hoyst Lakes where we're going camping this weekend. We're backpacking and we'll walk by a lake called No Name Lake.
Nice.
Oh, so you guys have to name it.
Yeah, so instead
well, they ran out of names.
Yeah, they ran out of names, so they were just like, it's No Name Lake. We don't name it.
I don't know. I think
it's like when you call a dog a dog. Just come here, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A dog named Dog.
We had someone we knew that named their dog D-O-G. 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 D-O-G.
Right over my head at first.
And then I saw that zoomed right past you, Bob.
we go up to go bowling with John and Kira up in Standish. There's a bowling alley that one half of the sign's gone, and it just has lanes.
Yeah, they took the other half down.
You're like,
so
you're
it's
right.
Just called lanes.
It's like the teacher that first day of school is going through her list of kids, you know, doing roll call. He comes across this name that cannot pronounce. So he said, I'm just going to spell it, and if you're here, just say you're here. So he says, H-I-J-K-M. A little girl in the back says, that's me, and it's pronounced Noel.
Noel.
Black hole.
Yeah, like H-I-J-K-L-M.
So it's Noel.
There's no L.
Okay, I'm so
there's
blind.
There's no L.
Okay,
welcome
so the alphabet.
The first chick
the
on the
Virgin
show,
Mary.
And I don't get the joke. That sucks. That officially sucks.
Oh, the Virgin Mary, Noel.
No, come on, man. Oh, good Lord. Good.
Carrie just switched names. No, her name, her new, no. Her new drunk name is Noel.
Noel.
Good Ord. Good Ord.
Where are you going? Over Noel. To Eric and Noel's house.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think she's Noel. I don't know if she's been drinking today or not.
Oh, God. That's just the worst.
You hate it.
Like, yes?
You came over in a fancy hat. I like it. What do you call those hats?
I don't know.
A tam.
No,
is
it's
it?
Not a tam.
It's like a it's pretty it's like an old Irish.
Yeah, it's Irish. I got it in Atlanta,
yeah,
actually.
It's like a golfer's
no,
hat.
It's not a tam. I'm sorry.
It's not a tam at all.
Sweet advertisements for advertisements for him all the time on Facebook from the old Kilkenny company or some shit.
Atlanta. Yep, there you go.
You killed Kenny?
It's a
you bastards.
It's a Gorin hat from Atlanta, Georgia.
Gorin?
Yes. And it costs way too much money, but I absolutely love this hat, and it is. And it has the Thompson.
Oh, it's called
crest.
They're called flat
crest.
Caps. Flat caps.
Flap.
Or flat.
Flat.
It was purchased in
Frankenmuth.
No, it flat. Was purchased in Atlanta, Georgia.
Unless if it's Noel, it's a fat cap.
And it has the Thompson crest, the Scottish crest on it.
It's a Noel cap.
It's a Noel cap.
Noel cap. It's a fat cap.
We're
yeah, because there's
tonight.
Noel. There's Noel. Yeah, he's right.
You just got that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Me and Roger are going to fight tonight.
His train is still boarding at the station.
The first wrestling on yeah. Basement Bar. Basement
yeah.
Bar brawl.
Yeah,
oh,
basement
let's get
bar
ready
brawl.
To rumble.
And then
get
me,
the jello
Eric,
ready.
Me, Eric, oh. Me, Eric, and Eddie will keep.
I think you should grab you another can.
Ooh,
out of
another
there.
Can?
Or are we going to do a like second
that's
beard a week?
We're doing it. Yeah.
This is unprecedented. Unprecedented second beard a week.
Why
beard
we're,
a week.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Why we are cracking this
beers
open?
Of the week.
Okay. We like to talk about food. And food is a big thing food. On here, but I kind of want to throw a wrench in the system.
Oh shit.
So we have a lot of good cooks that come through our show, and they always talk about all the cool food they make. And Eddie's a good cook. I just started cooking on a Blackstone. I found myself pretty good on that. But
yeah, right
that's
on.
It. You guys both are phenomenal cooks.
Carrie's a phenomenal cook.
And I cook for a living on the side, too. So that's, well, I say on the side. But no, at my place of employment.
You need to talk about your famous meat pies.
Oh,
those
my,
are awesome.
Speaking of cooking.
Is this Sweeney Todd shit? Is that?
It might be.
Maybe.
Speaking of cooking, there's a sausage and a bacon in a frying pan.
Okay.
Sausage looks at the bacon and says, man, it's hot in here. Bacon looks at the sausage and says, oh my God, a talking sausage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think I read that when I was in third grade.
Jesus.
I'm kidding.
Oh my
hey,
God.
Hey, I got a question. What did the sea say to the other sea? Or sea say to the ocean?
He didn't. He waved.
Yeah, exactly. He did wave.
Oh, I think I read that in second grade.
Oh, second grade. We're going back.
A Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe.
This is for Jonathan. What did George Washington say to his men before they got in the boat to cross Delaware?
Men, get in the boat.
Hey, if Abe Lincoln were alive today, what would he be famous for?
Nothing.
Old age.
That's true.
That is true.
True that. True that.
Be an old.
He's not wrong.
But how do you enjoy the show, Mr. Lincoln?
Oh man!
Heard it was a blast.
Oh yeah,
man!
God.
Back to back,
it
that
blew
was
my mind.
Hey,
they prepared that. They had to. They had their in cahoots. That was good.
God.
That was good.
Hey, what do Pink Floyd and Dale Earnhardt have in common?
Who? Oh, boy.
The Wall.
Their greatest hit is The Wall.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
That's so dark.
Wait till Gary Easel hears that.
That is fantastic.
Is Gary a big NASCAR fan?
Hell no.
Oh. Is he a big Beers and Babel fan?
Yes.
He's a big Wall fan.
He is.
Yeah.
That's the Big Lake Brewing Company. And is a picture of.
Love Big Lake Brewing Company. Yeah.
I believe the Fitz, isn't it? Or no? Yeah.
No, nope, that's Edmund? Just a fishing boat.
It might be.
Did they name the lake Big because it was big?
Well, yeah.
Well, the Big Lake is.
What's
the
Lake Superior?
What's the name of it?
It is
Superior
Michigan
Amber.
Michigan
Amber by the Big Lake Brewing Company.
Big Lake Brewing Company, I'm going to tell you this right now, has never disappointed me. There's not a single beer
they
make.
Holland, Michigan. Yeah, Holland. Yeah,
out of Holland. Yeah,
Holland, Michigan. They are
the bakery in Holland.
Yeah,
this is Michigan Amber. It is a 5.3% ABV, 18 IBU from Big Lake Brewing in Holland, Michigan.
It's pretty.
It's gorgeous. It's like a beautiful fall, color.
It?
It's Ooh. A glorious gold red.
We're going to drink the maple leaves.
So,
straight from the lake.
Like, fancy me this. What happened about 10 years ago? The craft beer movement, like Bell's, Oberon, and I mean, all that stuff had been around for a while, and you had all these different. And then Shorts comes up and makes their big break. Keweenaw comes up. Black Rocks. All
Bells,
this stuff.
Yeah,
what was
yeah.
the big break? And then all of a sudden, before you know it, there's a Kwanzaa Tut on the east side here, the Tri-City Brewing. Craft made a huge impact here not long ago. What happened?
You know what it is they raised their prices, and then the people with a lot of money had something to focus on.
Yeah.
No, I think it's I honestly believe it's millennials and like are just ADHD and we want to try new things and that constant yearn for something different
sure.
that it furnished a boon of creativity and all this differentiation
yeah,
of
that's
beer.
Cool.
Well,
did you
that's
guys,
what I think.
Did
that's
you guys
cool.
see what Gouda Ranger's coming out with right now?
With people
Pizza
your age.
Beer.
Got
now
that rolling.
Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It was fantastic. I missed that being in the Ville.
Tri-City?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Tri-City Brew.
But their new building is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is.
Look at dentist office.
I just wish it wasn't so hard to get to.
Yeah, no kidding. But it is smart because at least for the first 5 minutes leaving there, if you're hammered, you're like, oh, there's no cops back here. Then you have to hit the main road.
Yeah, then you're on Wilder.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
Yes, good. Cheers. Mazel tov.
Nice. Nice texture.
To life.
I played Laser Wolf.
Oh, goodness,
Laser Wolf,
good.
The Butcher, Fiddler on the Roof at Midland Center of the Arts.
You did.
Yeah. Laser
that's
Wolf, Rip Tevye.
Yeah,
Rip
cool.
Tevye. Tevye, the actor who played Tevye, just
Topol?
Passed away.
Oh, did he?
Oh, that's
he did.
Sad.
Yeah, it kind of made me
fantastic.
A little bit sad.
He was, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, the best amateur
beer.
Tevye I ever
that's
saw was your... girlfriend's dad.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, yeah. He
yeah,
did.
He was great.
Yeah,
that, yeah.
It's kind
great.
Of a caramely, malty
Dino,
aftertaste.
Yeah.
It's not
is
bad.
It's caramely.
It's got a good texture. Good body.
You didn't like
didn't
it,
like
Rod?
It
no?
Oh. You're not a big craft beer guy, but
that's about a -4.
I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I like the lager a little better, so I'm going to go with a 4 on this one.
I'm going to go with a 4.7.
Reminds oh, really?
Five. Yeah,
damn.
I'm at a 4 with
that's
you.
Like,
reminds
yeah.
me of,
it's not bad, but I did like that lager a little
reminds
bit.
Me
I,
of,
could eat, I could drink this with eat, like while eating steak.
I could,
it's good.
Okay,
I would
yeah.
like this with eating dessert.
Why would you run a
so,
ruin
yeah.
the taste
pie,
of a steak?
So I'll give it a 3.14.
Did you hear him?
No, sorry.
Say
what?
It, say it.
I said I'd like to eat this with dessert, maybe with some pie, so I'll give it a 3.14.
15926.
Yeah. I love it.
He said he had to finish it for you.
Again, coming at us from the Silver Palace, thank you to
our
sponsor this week of Silver Palace.
Where that came from.
Heck yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, I walk in there and there's just 17 white bags.
Well,
in there.
Because I bought four beers at a week over the last 2 weeks, forgot them, and then brought them in here, and then she brought them. So, yeah, we're stocked for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. It was a great call. I was at work, and I was going through a shit fucking time, and I get a call that's saying, hey, I got some awesome beers. How many do I have to bring? Oh. And I was like, okay.
Well, he said five.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I tell you what, you listen to the podcast, and you guys do the beer of the week, and you had somebody in the biz, so she decided to, provocateur.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much.
That's awesome.
Also appreciate Rogers Pub supplying us with all the beer, the crazy amount of beer we drink every week.
Wow, right on, man.
Thanks Rogers to the proprietor of Rogers Pub. Roger, thanks for fueling our habit.
Coach.
You are the real
hero.
Coach.
You were... I
get zero tip.
Oh, well,
just a tip.
I was just... You took the words right out of my mouth.
That's what she said.
Oh, man. Again. But damn it.
Gear shift.
All right. Spencer trying to be responsible.
Yeah, I dig it.
Before the podcast started, we were talking about... Eric had brought up a good point on how podcasts have kind of changed the game. Explain a little bit more about that, and then we can talk about that.
Well, the internet has done amazing things as far as... independence for art, as far as getting your art out there,
good push.
Whoa! A lot of artists, bands have subverted the music industry. And when I was a kid, always dreamed of having a music station, a radio station, and I make mixtapes. And it was like this, man. I'd hook a microphone up to my amp, and I'd have a cassette deck, and I'd do real time tunes tapes, and I'd say, welcome to WLSD, the hallucination station.
That's sweet.
Now, see, that's making your own tapes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
When I was a kid, our mixtapes were, don't get the DJ in there when you're recording.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yes.
It's just kind of amazing how it's turned into that. Like, it's people had transponders. They could put their own radio station out. And these podcasts now, there's so much more information, so much more truth, so much more opinions. It's tough to have an open mind. You can get locked into a certain point of view. You can really hear what only sounds good to you. But if you have an open mind, you can hear a lot of different points of view from a lot of different people, which I think could really help people see things from other people's perspective. I think the internet has been abused by specific people looking for specific points of view, just to echo their own points of view.
Yeah.
Just echo box, you know? And if you look around and there's so much more out there that can open your eyes to so many different things. A lot of mellow conversation. It doesn't always have to be political or religious or whatever. It's just a lot of different perspectives that can open your mind to how people are all very similar to each other and just having a conversation.
Right.
Which I think is great about podcasts. Yeah. It's not corporate. It's not Clear Channel. It's not radio station that's just...
teleprompter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good word for a teleprompter.
It's not scripted.
Yeah. And I think it's good. It's a good medium for people to hear and find voices that might be different to theirs, but hear them as human. Hear them as people. Hear them as people that are just hanging out.
Yeah, we may disagree on some things, but we can still have a good time and hang out and have a beer.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
That's the best thing.
I think my favorite part about doing this one is having so many different guests. You know, we've had an array. Like, if you look at our just what we've put out so far, all these
a
different
wide range of guests.
Yeah, a wide range of guests.
Wide range.
Waggy. But it's just really cool. I mean, now we're getting into it. Shit, we've had your son, and now you guys. We have people coming back for stuff. It's just.
I am making history as the first chick on your show, and I will be happy to come back
anytime
you want to be your token chick.
Hell yeah.
Your token chick.
Hell yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
that's awesome.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, it's about that time.
Is it about that time?
Da-dang, dang, dang, da-dang.
So,
last call.
I just got to tell you. So on our podcast, we do last calls.
Last call for alcohol.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again.
This is the last call.
I just got to tell you, on our podcast, we do last calls. And what that is a funny drinking story. So we all kind of tell a funny drinking story that's close to our hearts or just funny that you want people to hear. So it looks like, oh, shit, first on the ballot, it's Eric. And he's got Petrie. What is, you want to explain that?
All right. Carrie's going to have give me some color on this one because for this story,
yellow.
Carrie was pregnant for Jonathan, and me and my cousin Scott decided he was living over on 9th Street, and we wanted to put a little pull-in driveway for him. So there was a bunch of railroad ties down on Woodside, and we were going truckload by truckload stealing railroad ties and drinking Captain Morgan's by the getting right hammered. And, Carrie's staying straight, and you know as well as I do, people that are, they got to watch people get loaded. It's
kind of fun.
Yeah. So we get right smashed. We're living in an apartment down on Woodside, big tall ceilings, big tall windows, and we get home, and I'm right smashed. Captain Morgan's to the nth degree.
Yep. So I think, we're all, sleeping, and I think he's passed out, and I hear a ruckus in the living room, a large ruckus. And I get up to look, and 10-foot ceilings, right? Eric has maneuvered a 10-foot tall screen to a window. Jimmied it out of the window. It's laying in the middle of our living room, bent like the letter C, laying there. And I look, and he is out the window, straddling the windowsill with a half t-shirt on, which was popular in the 80s, the half t-shirts.
Yeah.
Half t-shirt of Genesis, nothing on underneath, nothing free balling. And he is straddling the windowsill with his nutsack hanging on the windowsill. I go, Eric, what the hell are you doing? He looks at me with straight face, gotta take a pee. God, and falls out the window.
Oh, no.
First floor, which is good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Shit. All right. I was just about to say, there he goes.
So I lean out the window, and I look at him, and he is standing on Woodside, kitty corner from the shot and shell, right? He's by this big pine tree, peeing and swaying in a circular motion. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, whatever. I close the window.
Not long enough to make a tripod?
Good. Went and laid back down.
So,
about 5 minutes later, I hear.
So here's the thing.
He's the explanation.
I'm blackout for this ruckus and this windowsill and this pine tree. And in the front of our apartment building, there's these safety doors, the big glass doors with a little, foyer between them. I come to reaching for the first door. I look down and go, what the hell am I doing here? There's my, hello.
Yeah.
I go to the door.
Half shirt.
I get there. Hallway's all lit up and sure as heck, Carrie, let me in. She says, who is it?
I'm looking through the people. He's like, let me in, goddammit. I'm like, I'm sorry, who's that? Oh, Lord. Needless to say, I let him in. And the next morning when we woke up, we were eating breakfast, and there's that giant screen laying in the living room. And I go, so how about you climbing out the window last night to take a piss? He's like, oh, I know. I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
It was pretty freaking funny, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's good to look back on it now. It's like the day after, you're like, but now it's just like, hell yeah, I did that.
Blackout.
You know, I've done my fair share of pissing, and
me too. I have to go right now.
And, do you?
This is my last call story. So, I'm with Eric and Carrie and John, and we are up at Pretty Lake. You heard that right, Rick and Eric. We're at Pretty Lake. It was gorgeous.
Was it pretty?
And yes, it was. And
it was
my,
all right.
It was all right, man. It was my first time at this place. Okay, so my mind is getting blown back and forth with everything. I saw the Milky Way stem to stern at night. I saw a tree that was 5 feet away from me 10 minutes ago disappear in front of my eyes with the blackness. It was awesome. That was the first night, okay? So I was just mind-blowing. And we were drinking that night, and we had a good time, and we went to bed, and that's when I thought, how crazy would it be if you stood on the ceiling and everything like that? You remember that? When you were in the tent, they were by the fire, and I was in the tent, and I was asking John, I was like, man, you ever think how crazy it would be to just stand on a ceiling, you know? And stuff like that. The next morning, we get up and immediately start drinking. And we're getting pretty sloshed.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting pretty sloshed.
But you can't drink all day if...
if you don't start in the morning. So it's about, I would say, 10, 11-ish.
Yeah, and that's a good guess to me. Yep.
Yep. I had to take a piss. I had to take my first piss of the day. Went to go break the seal. So at these campgrounds that we camp at, the rustic campgrounds, they have these outhouses, but they're like vaults, you know? They're just a toilet that goes down to a vault. And when I'm hammered or belligerent, people tend to not believe me. So... I went to take a piss, and I shit you not, there was a snake in the shitter. I pissed on a snake's head. So I'm stumbling back to the campsite in amazement, because this is not the first time my mind's been blown out on this trip. And I come back to the campfire doing the two steps forward, one step back, and I was like, guys, you're not going to fucking believe this. There's a snake in the shitter. There's a snake in the shitter, and they all bust out laughing.
Carrie just...
Oh, I'm so Spencer. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
You doubted me.
Oh, Spencer doubted
me. I did. I'm like, Spencer, animals don't flock to shit.
What about the dung beetle?
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
That's the thing. So, and I'll let Eric finish the story because his part's hilarious, but all of a sudden they're fucking with me. Like, Carrie and John are just like, no way, no way, and Eric disappears, okay? So what was your reaction when you came back to the campfire?
So Carrie's giving Spencer, there's not a snake in the shitter. There's just not one in there. So I think we're having like late breakfast, brunch, whatever by this point. And I'm like, I'll be back. I go to the same vault. I go and take a leak, and sure as hell, there is a nice-sized gardener snake that is in the goddamn vault. And I come back, and I said, Care? There's a snake in the shitter.
I apologize to you a thousand times. I'm like, oh my God. A
thousand rattles.
Sid from Toy Story tossed that son of a bitch in there.
Yeah, I swear it.
Did he just put it away and didn't get you a new beer?
Yeah.
That son of a
bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize. I was telling my snake in the shitter story.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
That was crazy.
Speaking of Toy Story, what's the difference between a priest and Woody from Toy Story?
Oh, not much.
Woody goes limp when a child walks in.
Oh.
Boom. Oh. That's about as good as the one I told you guys the other day that you can totally edit out, but I'm I have to.
What is it?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
Warning. It's bad. But if you went to a Catholic school, anyone, you'll find it funny in your heart. You know you will. Why do priests perform baptisms?
Why?
To keep the sex toys clean.
Jesus.
I know it's bad, but it's funny.
Eddie, you didn't write down a last call story. What's yours?
Mine's called Pants.
Pants. Pants. Okay.
Yeah. So it was Halloween, and this was back when the... the haunted barn on Portsmouth Avenue was still around. And
yes, my brother worked there.
Few of my buddies went out there, and one of their girlfriends, and so we go through the haunted barn. It was a blast. Everything's crazy. We come out, and she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And there's like one porta potty they have out there, and there's a line, and she's like, nope, drops trowel right next to the car.
Good girl.
Starts going, wow. And I was just like, I'd never seen a girl like do that. I was what is happening? And so that was the first fun thing of the night. And then we're going around, and we had the idea of one of the guys was like, hey, I know where Mr. Lewis lives. Let's go to his house. So it's midnight. And we show up at Lewis's house, and we're ringing the doorbell. We're knocking. We're not taking no for an answer. We're just ding, 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 ding. Oh, I forgot to tell. Very important part of the story. As we're coming into the haunted barn, and there's like a crawl portion at one point, and I split my pants open while I was doing that.
Okay.
So I split my pants open. Anyway, we're at Lewis's house. Ding, 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 ding. And finally, he comes to the door. He's wiping his eyes. He's like, what? He's like, Switek, what are you doing at my house? And I was like, I ripped my pants. Can I borrow a pair? And he's like, go away. He's like, why are you here? Go away. And they're all in the car laughing. And he's like, I see you.
Oh, God, that's great.
The next day, we got reamed, you know, because he thought his office was soundproof, and he would always yell at us in front of the entire band.
And the entire band is just eyes locked, because I loved when Lewis yelled at. I hate it when it happened to me, because it happened to me far too many times.
Yeah, right.
But in his office, he closes the door. Like, he's all quiet with you, and then he closes the door and starts screaming at you, and he goes, you know, you go, it's not fucking soundproof, Lewis. Like, out of everyone to know, you should know that this is not soundproof.
Everyone can hear you.
Yeah, stop yelling at me.
Yeah, so that's the night I went to Lewis's house at midnight and asked for pants.
and you didn't get them.
No, pants
failed. Failed.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great time.
Oh, my
Raj,
God.
Raj, you have cottage written down.
Okay. So, up at the cottage for a weekend. And it was a holiday weekend. Cousin was up there with his wife. And so we're all partying. And about just before noon, figure, well, hey, let's take the paddle boat. Head down to a buddy of ours that lived on the water. It was only about a quarter mile by water. And this paddle boat, I thought when my parents bought the cottage, you know, the paddle boat came with it. I thought it was just something that was homemade or very old, because it was two pontoons, like 12, 14-inch diameter pontoons on a frame, and then a bench that sat up on the top. So you sat on the bench.
Totally podunk. I love it.
So you sat on the bench, and you had your pedals. And then it was, chain driven. So, the chain went back to the sprocket, which turned the paddles in the back. And I love this thing because, I'd get up like really early in the morning, water's like glass. I'd take the paddle boat out and do some trolling. I love that thing. But anyway, so my cousin and I would grab 8 beers.
That's not enough.
Well, it's 2 to get there and 2 to get back, for each of us. So we grab 8 beers. Took a little more, So it took a little more than that to get there because, boats were pulling up to us, saying hi, shots, so we're drinking, their beers and shit like that. Anyway, so we get to Bobby's house, dock the pontoon boat, walk up there, doors open, walk in, yell his name a few times, no answer. So it's like my cousin says, well, shit, think he's got any beer? So he's got to have beer. So they open the fridge, and there's a full case of beer there. So we start drinking beers, figuring the door's open, it's unlocked.
Yep.
He's not far. He'll be back, Well, after, each of us had 5 beers of his case, built a nice pyramid, left him a note, said, hey, Bobby, sorry we missed you. Thanks for the beer. And then we took the rest of the case for the
ride home.
Got to get ride back. Home. Yep. Yeah.
Got to get back. It's like fuel in a paddle boat.
Pulled up two and took the case.
Yeah.
So we're pedaling back. We get probably 30 or 40 feet from the dock in front of my dad's cottage.
All your family's out there. Look.
Oh, yeah. It's a holiday weekend. There's, my parents have their friends and all their family. There's probably 40 people there. So we're going, and just to put this out there, before we go, my mom says, be careful. My dad says, Jesus Christ, it's a paddle boat. I don't want them falling off and drowning. He says, you can't flip that thing. They're not going to fall off. Yeah, it's on two pontoons.
It's outriggers.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so back to the story. We're like maybe 30, 40 feet from the dock. The fucking chain comes off on the paddle boat, on the sprocket in the back. I'm like, oh, shit, it's happened to me before. I got up, walked on the back of the one pontoon, and then put my foot on the other one, reached out, put the chain on, and I'm all good. So this happens, and I say, okay. I said, don't worry, Brad, I can do this. Get back, stand on the pontoon, put my other foot on the other pontoon. Now I'm not thinking that. He's sitting there. So I bend down to put the chain on. All of a sudden, like slow motion, this fucking just capsized.
Oh, yeah.
Smash.
Who ships a pontoon?
Right. And I'm like, I'm going to, I swear to God, it took like 4.5 minutes. He was going.
It was.
Be careful. I look at my cousin's just, he's not moving. He just sit there and just flip it over.
Yeah.
We're going.
So he's under the fucking thing. I kind of jumped off, so I'm grabbing the beers floating. You know, can't let the beers get away. Meanwhile,
don't
want
to litter.
You know,
save the beer.
Fucking drowning.
Yeah,
right.
He comes up, and all I hear is my mom and dad arguing. I told you they're gonna. He goes, that fucking thing is unflippable. What the fuck is he doing?
Titanic.
So we finally grab it. We bring it up to the shore, you know, to the seawall, pull it up, go in, dry off a little bit, change the clothes, sit there, start drinking again. And probably about 20 minutes later, here comes Bobby in his boat, pulls in, docks in there. He goes, what the fuck, man? He says, I wake up, I got no goddamn beer. You guys drink all my beer and leave? We're laughing. So he comes up. This is my dad. Hey, Bobby, how you been? How you doing? He goes, I'm great. He says, I got to take a leak. I'm on my way down to the marina to get some beer. So he goes in the house, or in the cottage. He's in there for a few minutes. Comes out carrying a fucking case of beer, goes right on his boat and takes off. My dad's saying, what the fuck? He goes, talking to your son. He drank all my beer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, I do. He's not lying, though, because we were all watching. And as a young kid, this is a core memory of mine. That shit did flip slow motion. And they just, yeah, they didn't do nothing. They it started going, and they just kind of just went, all right.
That's great.
Oh, I lost God. Like my, I think it was like the seventh or eighth pair of sunglasses I lost in that water.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you can go it. And get them now. It's yeah, just walking. It's, yeah, it's just, go find them
it's
now.
It's a piddly stream now.
It's like that Austin Powers where he's like, get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Oh, guys, just going,
ah!
Yeah. That's awesome. Carrie, you don't have any. Oh, you do have something written down. It's St. John's.
Ooh. I used to live there.
I'm excited.
Yes,
ooh.
I went to school there.
Oh, really?
Yes,
nice.
I did. Yeah, that through eighth grade. Best times of my life. By the way, St. John's girls are the ones that told me that horrible priest joke.
This has got to be about the festival.
It is about the festival.
Oh, no.
Yes. Great times at that fest.
Yes. Myself and my husband, who I was just dating at the time, and about eight other friends
husband,
of ours.
Your husband you were just dating?
Yes.
So you're married before you dated?
Don't confuse me, Raj.
All right, go ahead, Noel.
Oh, my God. I'm catching you on the next show, man. You're going down. So we all go to the St. John's Festival, and we got lubed up, of course, before we went down there and, you know, getting... Stop it. And, you know, smoking herbal refreshments and having a good time.
Herbal refreshments.
I love that. I love that.
Minty fresh.
Minty fresh. Fresh.
And overalls were all the rage, right? So I had a pair of badass denim overalls on. And
was this in the 70s?
No, 90s.
That was about 69.
Close. It was between 70 and 68. So went into the little portos and had to go to the bathroom and undid my overalls.
Did you piss on a snake too?
No, I did not. I went to, like, you know, do the hover because I didn't want to touch my ass to the
seats. Not those ones.
So I'm going and I suddenly hear puddling.
Oh, no.
What the fuck? And I look down. I'm like, okay. And then realized that the seat cover was down on the toilet seat that I'm hovering above. And all of my pee is going down into my overalls, collecting this amazing puddle. I'm like, Jesus. Holy shit. And then I'm stuck inside that port. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't come out of here. And I open the door and I'm like, Eric. And, you know, it's grunge time. So Eric had like an extra flannel. I'm like, Eric. I need your flannel right now. And he's like, what? I'm like, I totally filled my overalls with piss. Give me that thing so I can tie it around my waist.
It's just piss.
Tied it around my waist. He jumped the fence behind the Port-a-Johns and walked back to his parents' house so I could change whatever. Jesus. But instead of changing, I took off my overalls, threw them in my future mother-in-law's dryer, dried them, put them back on, and we went back down to the festival and continued to party in my dried up pee-pee pants.
So you smell like hot piss.
I hope so. I hope so.
Those overalls really, really held water well. You could not use them for coffee filters.
They were like waiters.
Right? They yeah. were totally waiters.
St. John's. You're so talking about that, Essexville.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was talking St. John's. On. Like on the way to Lansing.
Michigan, yeah.
Oh, no.
The
yeah.
one, the
no.
one that we went to that firehouse gig and that one lady in my middle, my drum solo was like, are you done?
Yeah, she almost killed her.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did. I was like, sorry, oh.
It's all right. Kira took care of that one
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, she did.
So now when you go into a party, John, do you make sure that the lid is up?
Oh, hell yeah.
Not going to make that yes. mistake twice.
Lid up nope. and hover, baby. Lid up and hover.
That's a one mistake only.
Nope. Well, this, I tell you what, hasn't been a mistake. This show. This has been absolutely fantastic. We appreciate you guys coming on.
It was an honor to be here.
It's been so nice, we might have you twice.
Yeah, that's great.
I would love that.
Yeah. But
twice
thank
is
you.
Nice.
Thank you so much, everybody. Check out Facebook,
wait,
Instagram, the 989.network. we're going to have a live show May 3rd at 7:30 in Chesaning, Michigan at Pintown again.
Nice.
So make sure to check out the socials and keep an eye on that. Pintown, a great sponsor. Fantastic. But
May 3rd.
Pintown.
As Ernest Hemingway said, always do sober what you said you'd do drunk. Cheers.
Cheers.
Fact check it.
You can't always do what's right. You can always do what's left. Did you enjoy this episode? Then check out more at 989.network, Mid-Michigan's premier podcast network.
Hold up.
Do you love terrible B-movies? Fans of wrestling and Power Rangers? Step into Amityville Studios and join Rick and Eric for some side-splitting laughter and great banter on Wide Range of Conversations. Find it where all podcasts can be found. Wide Range of Conversations with Rick and Eric.